Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
So a bitter end to a magnificent season by Sean McDermott and his team. But once again, the hurdle cannot be cleared here in Kansas City. This time they lose by a mere 3 points, 32-29.
It's not fun to be the champs. You had to beat the champs, and we didn't do it tonight.
Every loss is tough. Just came up short, you know, just came up short in a big game. That's how close these games are. You know, that's how good teams are when it's this close to the Super Bowl.
We had a plan for that, and it just, you know, didn't go our way.
So proud of the guys. Well, they battled. They gave it everything they had. Just came up a little bit short tonight against a really good football team.
Mike Danger.
A somber day. The Buffalo Bills season has ended at the hands of the Kansas City Chiefs again.
Gene Battaglia.
Okay, here we are again. They're going to be back here. The Bills' time will come. But I think the bigger question is, where do we go from here?
Yeah. 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Where do we go from here?
Aye.
There's the question.
We're going to... Did Dan pull that from last year? Because
yeah, I'm sure he did.
Sure. Like another...
Oh, Gino. In part of my preparation for today's show, knowing we were going to talk about another excruciating loss by the Buffalo Bills at the hands of the Kansas City Chiefs, I went back to my notes from last year, and pretty much everything that I wrote about the game last year is applicable today. It hasn't changed. It's the same outcome and a lot of the same questions that have yet to be answered. And I think you can look at the rosters and how they're constructed, and I'm glad you brought up Brandon Bean in your update because we will hear from him eventually this week. I want to know, I know he's answered the question, but it's on display. Like, his failure with some of these picks is on display right in front of our... When Xavier Worthy is the leading receiver in the AFC Championship game and scoring a touchdown while your pick has one catch for 12 yards, explain that. Explain that to us.
I'm going to push the Coleman thing aside because, well, that was actually McDuffie on him, and you knew the Bills wanted McDuffie, and McDuffie is one of the top corners.
Right. Right.
But just
your corner, what? The guy that you got instead of McDuffie, is a liability that you had, couldn't even get a jersey during the season, but you had to thrust him into battle.
That's the part, because you do your prep for the draft, and we all have our opinions on the draft until you get the guy in. You're not just really sure. We all knew at training camp, Kyrie Elam, nice kid, he shouldn't be on this roster. Why wasn't that addressed? That's not the reason you lost yesterday, but the roster construction, if you had to drop the buckets here, or blame pie, blame assessment Monday. Yeah, like it's player execution, catch the damn ball. It's being prepared as a coach.
You traded up. For Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah, and it's roster construction.
Yeah.
Now, Dalton Kincaid, his teammates are behind him, playing with a torn PCL. Okay, I get that. Why was he out there? Look, there's a lot. Trust me when I tell you this. It's better than what you experienced last night to know you're that close to getting your butt kicked, okay, like back in the day in the Super Bowl. 866-4FAN is our phone number, 866-4326, starting us off in happy hour. Tyler calling from Hilton. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, so my perspective is I think they just got out coached last night.
Yep.
And for those that are calling for, you know, the firing of Joe Brady, Sean McDermott is an egregious thing. And, you know, from a basketball perspective, when you have two great players going at it and, you know, one plays phenomenal defense on the guy and they still score, you say, great defense, better offense. And my perspective is, Sean McDermott is a great coach, but the better coach won the game yesterday, Andy Reid, and the better defensive coordinator, was Steve Spagnuolo, helped seal the deal for the win yesterday. So that's just my thoughts on that.
Yeah, Tyler, I mean, that's kind of, you know, if you rationalize this loss, because you could get very irrational and you can go a lot of dark places, but if you just look at it side by side, these two teams, Josh Allen is a fantastic quarterback. Patrick Mahomes is elite. He's just a little bit better.
Well, you should, no, to lead to the point where I never thought I'd say this. He's going to run down Brady, perhaps.
Oh, he's going to go down as he could
be the greatest.
He could
all
go
time.
Down as the greatest of all time. We could be watching Michael Jordan in the NFL, right? Like that's what he is. We hate it. We hate it. We don't want to see it because it always comes at our expense. But that's the reality. That's what's happening here. That's why you can't get over. You could do this exercise in almost every position group and coaching position between these two teams and be like, yeah, they're just a little bit better. Steve Spagnuolo might be just a little bit better of a defensive mind than Sean McDermott. You know, just a little bit better. The one area, this is what's, if you're mad about something today, I will listen to this. I think this is directed anger. That makes sense. If you're mad at anything, the one area yesterday on the field where you, the Buffalo Bills, looked like you had an advantage over your opponent, James Cook. And he wasn't out there. Was he hurt? We don't know.
Right. Somebody told me about the tent, but I didn't see this.
I saw him leave the field, yeah. And he kind of crouched down. He was like kneeling down, and I don't think we saw him after that.
Yeah.
Something happened. He took himself out.
Did he cramp up? Nobody's saying anything. But that drive, folks, be honest with yourself. You stop Kansas City, and by stop, you forced them to a field goal. Oh, my gosh. 3.5 minutes to go. Did you learn from last year where if you hold on to the ball and Tyler, great, hit using the basketball advantage, you're going to hold for the last shot. You're going to hold for the last shot. You're not going to let Mahomes have it back, and maybe you score with 30 seconds or whatever it is left on the clock. And you know how you do that? That's not by throwing the ball incomplete and stopping the clock. It's using the effective running game. And I would wonder, why wasn't James Cook out there?
Right. So, Tyler, your call is, in my opinion, is exactly where my head is at. That's how I've been rationalizing another disappointing end of the season to the Kansas City Chiefs, is that you just look at the rosters and how they're constructed and the coaches and how they're employed, and you just say, you know what? I'm sorry, they're just a little bit better.
Well, and how they're constructed? Boy, we knew the secondary was okay, but you're going to take two starters out, your best player in the secondary out. Poor Christian Benford. I wonder if he shouldn't have been out there in the first place.
Oh, that was scary, man.
No, that is...
Yeah, watching a guy get strapped into a golf cart because he's kind of unconscious, he's that groggy,
yeah,
was rough. That was a rough watch.
That was... I'm sure the NFL didn't like CBS showing you that. But again, go back to training camp. Why wasn't a trade made for some veteran corner? You could say it was the cap. You could say whatever it is. You've got some work to do. Now, on the positive side, and again, we've got weeks, sadly months, to talk about this. How do you improve this roster? Greg Thompson, Cover One, says his estimate, keeps track of all this stuff, by what he thinks the cap would go over. The Bills will have $25 million to play with. Okay, you've got some free agents, which we will discuss. You certainly have draft picks. You've got 2 second-rounders. Do the Bills use that draft capital and go for a big swing? I would just start here. Start over on the secondary. I like Taylor Rapp. I think we like DeMar Hamlin. They're never going to be Poyer and Hyde. They're not. They're not difference makers. When you face an elite quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, you got to investigate at least how you get better. Cole Bishop is kind of the question mark, right? Didn't really see much out of him. You didn't really want
him. Well, here's what you didn't see out of Cole Bishop. You didn't see Kyle Hamilton.
No.
You, as soon as you see Kyle Hamilton on an NFL field, you're like, that's it.
Okay.
That guy's good.
Okay. I'm watching the NFC Championship game, jealous, because you could have taken in the second round Cooper DeJean. Cooper DeJean for Philadelphia, a returner, by the way. Danger, we talked upteen times about the guy from Iowa. Like, he's versatile. Everything that Sean McDermott, and when they didn't take him, like, wow, okay. They went with Cole Bishop instead.
Yeah.
A lot of second guessing.
I guess because it's the season of second guessing, when Brandon Bean does go up there, I hope that he is pressed on that a little bit. I know he's answered the questions about the 2024 draft already. But in totality, when you look at his overall body of work, he got the quarterback right. And he's hit on some late round picks. You found some value that have probably helped you.
See, that's where that negates. If you had Benford in round one and Elam at the end, nobody's saying anything. If you had Dalton Kincaid as a fifth rounder and Khalil Shakir as a late first rounder, nobody would say anything. So I guess it washes out. But now, okay, a first rounder in 2 seconds. Yeah. Thank you very much for the Steph Diggs trade. This is where you're going to need to hit because you're not going to be able to fill everything.
And I think you need guys that can contribute. I know that they want to bring guys along at their rate, but I needed more out of Keon Coleman. I needed more out of Cole Bishop this year. I wanted more out of those guys, and I don't think that's me being a selfish fan. I think that's just the reality of playing in the NFL when you have a franchise quarterback that you're committing that much cap space to. You're going to be here day one, and you're going to contribute day one. No more of this, we got to bring them along. Or if you're telling me that they can't be out there on week one, then you're telling me they're not good enough or you reached for a player that isn't worth what you're paying for.
Well, and then part of it, too, the equation, because I saw Worthy early in the year, and look, I did this. I pointed and laughed. Ha, ha, come on. Look, that's...
We were talking about it last week. Yeah, maybe he's just a fast guy who can't run routes. Well, he is a fast guy, and he's a matchup problem for a lot of teams.
He blew right by Hamlin.
That's right.
Touchdown.
He's a fast guy, and he's going to be a matchup problem. Maybe he doesn't run the most precise routes. Maybe he can't catch with any consistency. But he found pay dirt, and our guy got one catch for 12 yards. Kind of disappointed. The other first-round draft pick that you traded up for in the first round, and I shouldn't say the other because Coleman was a second-round pick technically. Yeah, that's the guy that had two critical drops and largely disappointing this season, Dalton Kincaid.
It also was disappointing and sounds strange. Hey, you scored 29 points. I'm going to bring up the offensive coordinator. Since we were on the air last, Joe Brady pulling his name out of New Orleans. I'm thinking, okay, this is smart. I like this. You see what Ben Johnson did, and you look at what New Orleans doesn't have. They have no cap space. They don't have a quarterback. There's not much hope there, even though the division's kind of meh. No, let me just go back to Buffalo and run it back. I'm thinking, this is really smart. That was not the best time for Joe Brady to call his worst game of the year. Honestly.
Right.
Again, you're going up against Steve Spagnuolo, too.
Well, I think the thing that's frustrating is they have plays that they know work. Shakir goes in motion and you know, it goes behind Allen and he cuts. We saw that play earlier in the season and we heralded him. We're like, unbelievable play design. What a great call. Led to a touchdown. Fantastic. Well, that's on film. And Steve Spagnuolo is not going to ignore the plays that are working for you. He's going to take them away from you. The tush push.
That was surprising. That was surprising. That
is
somebody...
it though? Is it surprising when you have one of the best defensive players lining up across from your quarterback? Is it surprising when you're facing down Chris Jones? I don't know that it's surprising, Gino. And for them to stop it once or twice, we're going to the well four different times. That's our best play. That's Sean McDermott after the game.
Well, it's been our best play all year, you know, at one or inside of 1 yard. And, you know, we won some of those. But to your point, they're doing a good job. You know, I thought overall, maybe we could have disguised it, maybe not. But at the end of the day, we have confidence in Josh and our offensive line to get those. And they've been getting them all year.
We could have disguised it.
To that point, this is going to be kind of a deep hole for Bills fans where Drew Bledsoe once upon in a game in Seattle, did that kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, popped it out to McGahee, and McGahee ran 50 yards for the touchdown. It seemed like, what were you setting up for that? Because every time you're lining up like that,
we know what's coming.
We know what's coming.
Everybody know what's coming. And you're basically saying, try and stop us. A lot of teams can't, but the Chiefs are equipped, and they knew exactly what was coming and how to stop it. They were more prepared. They were better coached.
You're not that good where you can just run the play and you still had to kind of get the Chiefs guessing a little bit.
Yeah, the execution, the way Buffalo has executed all year
does look different to me than the way Philadelphia executed. I mean, with Philadelphia, it's like, okay, automatic. It's happening. It's automatic. And their offensive line is great. I'm not taking anything. I don't want to discredit the Bills' offensive line, but Josh does this thing where he'll move laterally before he moves forward.
Right.
And that, I know he's trying to find his hole or you know, find the gap that makes the most sense, but it's just that little hesitation, that little lateral movement that I think makes it a little bit more of a risky play than the way you see Philadelphia execute it to perfection almost every single time.
I kept waiting for like, okay, let's just get Josh Allen out in space to the outside, something like that, make him one-on-one. Heck, on that last drive, they let 12 yards. Thank you very much. If of all the times I thought maybe this is just going to be Josh left, Josh right, and it ends up being the turnover on downs.
Yeah. A disappointing outcome, obviously, for the Buffalo Bills. The Chiefs now with history in front of them and a chance to be the first team to ever three-peat as Super Bowl champs. A date with the Eagles just under 2 weeks from now.
You can write to us on X, our handle, The Fan Rochester. You can also write to us on YouTube. Hello to everybody watching the stream there on YouTube and Twitch. William writing in. Now, this is going back to, all right, I've heard this more than once, and maybe you're feeling this. I'm just going to take the Super Bowl off. I'm not going to invest any time with the Kansas City Chiefs. And honestly, it crosses my mind to think that, but you know what? My profession, probably have to watch the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
But I just pointed this out. Like, okay, if you're going to go down that road, I hear you. How are you going to spend your Sunday evening? It's not like you're going to go to an Amherst game or anything like that. Nothing happens in this town or many towns going up against the Super Bowl. That's how dominant it is. William writing in, dinner in Tinseltown would take 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah. I'm going to eat my feelings. I'm going to, you know, every year we host the Super Bowl, so we're not going to stop that because the Bills aren't in it.
I wouldn't advise anybody eating their feelings.
I'm going to eat my feelings.
No.
Yeah, no. I'm going to make more food than I can possibly handle, and we're just going to chow. We're just going to chow and drink, and that's
every year you come in with a food hangover on the Monday after the game.
I mean, is that not what life is about? Is that not what people do for the Super Bowl? You eat and drink the entire game. I mean, today is rough. I mean, we watched both of those games yesterday. We ate way too much. We drank way too much. And, you know, like you know, staring at the ceiling in the middle of the night just with thoughts racing in your head. And, Gino, I can't remember if I said it earlier or not, but, like, that's the thought that just keeps recycling in my head over and over and over. They're just a little bit better. And you have to be perfect. And if you're not perfect, they're going to beat you.
Just look at the coordinator matchup. You're Steve Spagnuolo, four-time Super Bowl champ, should be a head coach in this league against a guy in Buffalo that's second year as an OC, granted, you know, bright up-and-comer. It's a mismatch.
Sean McDermott versus Andy Reid. I'm sorry. Andy Reid is going to go down as the greatest coach of all time.
But Andy Reid lost 4 straight NFC championship games. I mean, like, at what point? Here's the thing, Danger. We could just say, you know, we'll get to summer. We'll all be fired up. You know how the cycle is.
Yeah.
Everything will look great, and we will be reinvigorated, and then we'll get back to this point. What is it going to take?
Are you going to buy into we're better for the struggle? We're better for the losses? We're better for the adversity?
Here's what I'm... And Dandelorean, roll this, okay? Because I'm changing my take. Because, you know, I love sports history, Mike Danger. And I love the fact that in order to get by the Celtics, the Pistons had to get by the Celtics and the Bulls had to get by the Pistons. And the yet... Okay. Say shame on me next year if I'm like, no, the Bills need to get by the Chiefs. No. No more Chiefs. No more. Okay? It doesn't mean anything less next year if the Bills get to the Super Bowl and let's say they beat Cincinnati in the AFC Championship game or the Chargers or whoever. It doesn't matter.
Well, I would also say the regular season wins don't matter either. I mean, we get so fired up.
They do in this regard.
In terms of getting your seed.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's... Kansas City, would have it made a difference? I don't know. But it wouldn't have hurt if you changed the setting.
It didn't last year.
It didn't last year, but this year's... The funny thing is, can we just all acknowledge that this year's Bills team was how much better than last year? If they're better than last year.
Yeah.
It was a Bills team last year that was 6-6, and we're learning what the heck is going on with this team.
They're more coordinated this year. More disciplined this year. More structured this year. I think they were better coached this year. I do think this is Sean McDermott's best coaching job of his career this year. And if he continues to improve and next year is even better, then maybe there is something to look forward to. But for all the times that they've won meaningful games in the regular season against Kansas City, or even meaningful playoff games against a good team like Baltimore, it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing until you can get past that hurdle, that AFC championship game. I'm with you. I don't care if it's the Chiefs. I don't care who it is. But I thought about this yesterday too. While the game was going on, I'm like, would this be different if they were playing, say, the Bengals in Cincinnati? And I don't know that it would be. Like, you know, there's just some teams that are going to be a matchup problem for you. Maybe Cincinnati changes here because there's been some turnover and there's been some change, and there will be more.
Hold on. The example here was Baltimore. Baltimore is the worst of the matchups, and Buffalo proved that.
Yeah.
That's why I thought, holy cow, they got by Baltimore.
Yeah.
A team that they really didn't match up well against. McDermott outcoached Harbaugh. Again, I can't do the ifs and whats and candy and nuts and all that stuff, because next year, getting the top seed should be the goal. They haven't done that yet. They farted around in a game or two, whether it was Houston, that's the one that kind of sticks out to me, or farting around on the Rams. Funny how that same exact quote, well, that's, you know, what, tell us about first and goal with the tush push there that cost you the timeout. Well, it's our best player in the book. Yeah, well, wasn't that day. It cost you the Ram game.
Yeah. They had some really like one-sided wins this year that would lead you to believe, okay, they're playing like you would expect a one seed to play, right? The losses to Baltimore in week 4, Houston in week 5, those losses, the way they happened, kind of open your eyes a little bit, and you're like, I mean, what does a one seed in the AFC look like? They look like the Chiefs. They're just winning games, and it doesn't matter if it's lopsided. It doesn't matter if it's – they're just going to find a way to rip your heart out.
The Chiefs, it's almost like – They're such a veteran team, Danger, that they didn't need to put their foot on the pedal in September and October. They knew how to win games where they didn't have to go all out here. Just looking, case in point, Kelce. All right. Travis, go retire.
He doesn't have anything left, right? I mean, like, he still has the uncanny ability to find that soft spot in a zone and find himself wide open.
It's like a great post player in basketball. That footwork of knowing – I don't know how he can catch the ball and he has the sense of Milano's leverage is in the wrong spot. Bam! I'm going to turn it up the field for 10.
That's right.
I mean, it's uncanny.
Yeah.
When that goes away, that's going to help Buffalo, because you're not going to replace that if you're Kansas City. I'm sorry. You'll get another tight end, but he ain't going to be Travis Kelce.
Oh, God. I just realized that my prediction for yesterday's game was the exact outcome of the Week 11 game. I said Bills 30-21. I was feeling pretty good about my prediction there for a while. I thought, Bills had 22 on the board. I'm like, they get a touchdown and a 2-point conversion, and we know the rest. You had a lead in the fourth quarter, and you let them off the hook.
Also, CBS tie game playing Mr. Brightside. I'm like, yeah, I know you want to reach out to us, but I was just like,
Watching the game with my daughter, she's like, "Who's on aux? The music that they're playing going in and out of breaks is terrible."
Wow.
I'm like, whoo, harsh criticism from the casual fan over here. Real harsh criticism.
But I like that engagement. That's,
yeah. No, she was paying attention. Like, who's on aux? Who's on aux? Meaning, who's producing this garbage? This is not good. And I guess that kind of goes a little bit to the call we took earlier, who felt disrespected that in the pregame they were only talking about the Chiefs and weren't giving the Bills any love. I don't understand that at all. Like, if that bothers you, you don't have to watch the pregame. You're going to watch the game, but the pregame, what are you getting out of that?
If that bothers you, you're the person that goes online and what do they call it? Doom scrolling.
You're just angry.
You can find anything.
Yeah, you're just happy to be angry. Just always only happy when you're angry. I don't have a problem with how they present the pregame. They're in Kansas City. The Chiefs are doing something historic or on the precipice of doing something historic. They want to spend time with more time with them than with the Bills. Yeah. Fine. Whatever. It's a giant Francesa, but yeah.
Oh, who cares?
We were all very engaged yesterday, weren't we? From the very beginning to the very end. And it just didn't work out.
Yeah. Too bad the warm-up act for us, the NFC Championship game. Hey, congrats to Eagles fans. Yeah, that was that didn't deliver, obviously.
Hard, because I know there are a lot of Bills fans that don't want to root for the Eagles either, but how do you not root for the Eagles if you're a Bills fan? Like, you're rooting for Saquon, you're rooting for Jalen Hurts.
I'm rooting for Section 5 Sirianni.
Section 5 Sirianni.
Section 5 Sirianni.
Hey, Big Dom.
Did you see Big Dom? He's wearing the hat with the Italian flag on the side.
Of course he is.
I'm like, wait, and he's right next. I thought that was the rule. He wasn't allowed on the sideline, but he's right there. Nobody's telling Big Dom to move.
Of course nobody's telling him to move, Gene, because he's Italian. You going to tell me to move? Do you know who I am? I'm Big Dom over here.
Hey. You know what? We're going to go down to New Orleans. We're going to take care of business. I'm Big Dom.
You don't worry about nothing. We're going to take care of it.
How would a Buffalo matched up against Philadelphia? I went on BetQL, and they put that question right ahead at me because they're like, what do you think? And I'm like, okay, I didn't have any idea what the spread would be because you could have bet on that.
Yeah.
Pick them. If it was going to be Buffalo in Philadelphia, pick them. To me, I know Jalen Hurts isn't Lamar Jackson, but maybe Buffalo would have lost that game too.
I would have hated that matchup against Saquon Barkley.
Yeah,
he's playing possessed. He's on a mission. That guy's hard. That's going to be a hard task to stop that guy. Spags is going to earn his paycheck.
And if the Bills secondary was that banged up, and you've got to deal with AJ Brown
and Devontae Smith,
yeah,
tough.
Yeah, like Baltimore didn't have any receivers.
Pretty good team.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. Yeah, pretty good team. Howie Roseman's good at his job.
Yeah.
Howie Roseman is really, really good at his job and constructing a roster, a winning roster, and they have one. Ah, damn it. All right. We got to get to a round of shots next, Gino.
Danger. Any other day, we would be talking about what the Amherst did on Saturday night.
I know.
Holy mackerel. Now, this kind of got lost because it was Championship Sunday, and this was the game in Hartford. But how did we arrive at 160 penalty minutes? How did we arrive at a line fight? How did we arrive at two goalies going at it? The Amherst won, and they kicked Hartford's ass. How did we arrive at that? Well, we'll tell you what led up to that, and I'm going to give you a little teaser.
Love.
It was something that Mike Leone mentioned to us.
I love
it. This goes back to the first matchup.
I love it.
Yeah. We've got that. We've got the other hockey team playing down the road. And then
the S word.
Yeah. And then it wasn't a good night for CBS, too. A lot of people pointing out just something that Jim Nantz said that last night that, you know, if you're a Bills fan, you'll remember that.
All right. We're going to get to that more next round of shots. Don't forget about last call. You can have the final word in the sports bar at 585-866-4FAN, 866-4326.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester. The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Always a tough day when the Bills have to clean out their locker, everybody going to their offseason home. This after the end in the AFC Championship game. Quarterback Josh Allen on his message to the fan base.
Bills Mafia is the best fan base in the world, even through all the hurt and disappointment that they've had to endure. You know, we're going to continue to turn every stone over and cross the T's, dot the I's, and do whatever we can to try to bring a Lombardi back here to Western New York.
Still to come, Brandon Bean's season-ending press conference. The date and time of that has yet to be announced. Buffalo Sabres back home tomorrow night. The Amherst, more on the Amherst coming up in shots. They're back home Wednesday night. NBA schedule highlighted by the Knicks tonight. They're taking on Memphis. Sports brought to you by GetMyPerks.com. Find lots of great deals for half off. GetMyPerks.com. Gene Battaglia, the sports leader, The Fan Rochester.
The only way to take the Fan Rochester with you is the free Odyssey app. Download it today and follow the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
I mean, today is just, I mean, everybody, you know, is feeling a certain way about it. Obviously, it sucks. It's not the best feeling in the world, like I said, especially when you're one game away. But the thing, I love this team. You know, there's no pointing the finger. It didn't come down to one specific play at all. You know, there's a lot of things that every individual wish they could have done better, you know. So, like I said, it is what it is, but we'll be all right.
Bills wide receiver Khalil Shakir. You mentioned in your update. Cleaning out the lockers today. We'll hear from Brandon Bean at some point this week, you would imagine. Time for a round of shots in the sports bar.
Yeah, this wasn't your typical Amerk Road win. The headline from the game might read like this. Saturday night, Isak Rosane gets the hat trick. Amerks with an impressive 6-3 win at Hartford. Make no mistake, the Amerks came ready to fight. 160 penalty minutes combined, including a line brawl at the end of the second period. Now, what set it off in the game? At the end of the second period, Hartford's Alex Belise firing a shot at the Amerk goaltender Felix Sandstrom after the whistle. Well, that's a penalty. But considering how the first matchup between these two surrounding Sandstrom, who got run by Hartford's Ben Harper... Harper did not dress in the game Saturday night. He was listed as day-to-day.
Convenient.
Yeah. Mike Leone stops by the sports bar tomorrow at 4:25. If you're an Amerk fan, you don't want to miss it.
Just unbelievable. I love everything about that. That's some old-time hockey. That's some accountability. That's some you can't mess with us. And by the way, like, that is the one rule that I remember from playing as a kid. You never rifle off a shot after a whistle or after the horn is blown. And if you do... there are consequences. I love that they didn't lay down and they actually took care of business there in Hartford, getting the win and sending a message, I think, to the rest of the league.
Yeah, Frank writing in, waited 2 months to see what the Amerks would do. They did not disappoint. And I love the fact that Leone started Sandstrom, the victim from November, in goal, as if to tell Hartford, F you.
Yeah. You want him? You got him. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, we're going to stand up for our guy.
That's right. Yeah. I love everything about
that.
In fact, if the Amerks go on a run, if they have some sort of deep, meaningful playoff run and continue to play well through the stretch here and they end up being the one seed in the North Division, this is the kind of thing that you can look back at and be like, that was a turning point. That was a galvanizing moment with this team where they realized we will handle our business and we can play and beat anybody.
Yeah, well, make no mistake. If this game was in Rochester as opposed to Connecticut, this is all we've been talking about, right? Outside of the Bills. For many people, the hockey season does begin after football season here in Western New York. Down the road, you might want to skip ahead to October for the Buffalo Sabres. It's now 19 blown leads for the Sabres. Losing in Edmonton Saturday after scoring first. 17 of those 19 losses danger the Sabres have scored first. That's remarkable. Both worst marks in the league, of course. 41 points, dead last in the East. Yay. 7 back of Pittsburgh. 14 points now out of a playoff position. Boston team's struggling, but they'll look good tomorrow night when they come to KeyBank.
We have that game? No, we have St. John Fisher tomorrow.
Oof. Right.
Thank goodness.
Ratings will be better.
Yeah.
Cardinals and Nats.
More people paying attention to Cardinals basketball. Thank goodness, Gino. What would we do without you? We'd be forced to have to deal with the Sabres tomorrow.
Well, Sabres hockey, if you're so inclined, at 96.5 WCMF tomorrow night.
But listen anyways.
Syracuse basketball had just one losing season under Jim Boeheim since 1970. Now the Orange in danger of having their second. Syracuse now at 9-11 overall after loss to Pitt at the Dome on Saturday. And now they head out to California this week. And the road hasn't been kind to Syracuse. They're just 1-4 away from the Dome, not counting the neutral site games. First stop at Stanford, 11 o'clock Eastern time, the tip on Wednesday night.
Okay. Well, I guess this is what you kind of would have expected when Boeheim stepped down, right? Like, nobody's going to do what he did. And all of us, myself included, that were critical of Boeheim. I mean, I'm critical of Boeheim just because of the way he carried himself. I mean, you can't really be critical of the resume. Won a lot of games, but it was the way he carried himself in winning all those years.
I think the act wore on a lot of people.
Yeah,
included.
Yeah, which I think rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. But here you go. Now you've got a team that can't even finish above 500.
The 11-year-old from California who pulled the rare one-of-one Paul Skeens rookie card has declined the Pittsburgh Pirate offer of trading the card for a package that would include 30 years of season tickets.
Good.
Plus the meet and greet. Instead, the card will go up for auction. You get it. Think it's not the kid, it's the parents calling the shots here. Skeens, by the way, Pirate fans, becomes an unrestricted free agent in 2029.
Trade him now. Why wait? Why wait until 2029? Get something for him now.
What will the Dodgers give you?
Yeah, trade him now. What are you waiting for? You're not going to pay him. The Pirates, you're not going to pay him.
So maybe the Dodgers win the bid on the card. That would be funny, right? The Dodgers win the bid. Let's just say, hey, we're going to get you in 20.
Who's this user M. Johnson? Magic Johnson? Magic Johnson is in the chat? What?
Listen, you want the card? Come sign with us in 2029.
Yeah.
Finally, someone from CBS, perhaps Jim Nantz, owes Bills fans an apology. Danger, this is the final 4th-and-5 play. The Dalton Kincaid dropped the blitz, everything that happened, but I had the reaction. I said, oh, phew, there's a flag on the play. Why? Because they put the graphic up and Nance told me that.
Saw it.
Only a few seconds later to say, well, there is no flag. Wait, how could you say there's a flag? What did you think on the field was a flag?
He got buzzed by the shadow officials on the sideline. They don't mess around. They heard what he said.
Was there a flag? And then no, we can't have this. Pick it up real quick. I don't even want to entertain that because somebody's going to be like, you know, I heard the guys on the sports bar saying that they picked up the flag at the end.
Yeah, I know. I'm proud of us. We didn't spend a ton of time talking about the officiating.
It was the lead story on the ESPN Talking Head show. Now, why is that? I think it's this because that's what a lot of people are talking about, but it's not the reason the Bills lost the game.
Right. I in my day-to-day, will interact with lots of casual sports fans. And those casual sports fans inevitably will always go to their default, which is it's rigged. The refs are in with Kansas. Like, all of the things that drives Kansas City, which frankly, it just drives me crazy as a sports fan. It drives me nuts talking about officiating. But that's the conversation today from the casual fan. The fan that pays attention knows that they're good or bad or that they have a certain amount of wins and losses, but they can't break down exactly how they're good or why they're good versus why a team like Kansas City does what they do, why they're so well coached, why they execute as clean as they do year in and year out. No, it's the officials. It's always the officials. And so that's what ESPN's doing. They're catering to the casual fan who might just be scrolling through and seeing, oh, yeah, this is the thing that I wanted to hear them talk about, the officiating, because it was so bad. And when you have not just the crew on the field, but you also have all those extra officials, I dub them the shadow officials, wearing their dark jackets and you know, standing on the sideline, I think there is certainly more that the NFL can do to improve officiating. But I don't think they're going to get calls wrong when you have that many officials all keyed in on getting the calls right.
I mean, like, honestly, kick goes through the uprights, the LED lighting.
There's so much technology you could do with it.
Yeah. Our phone number, 866-4FAN, 866-4326. Aaron's got something to add from Pittsburgh. Hey, Aaron.
Hey. I don't want to blame the game on the officiating at all, but I just wonder, why can they not put a microchip in the football?
Right.
So you know exactly where the play ended. You don't have to use chains. You don't have to use a ref trying to walk straight across the field. And, doesn't that seem like something to take it in?
I got an answer. It's the same answer as why, when FIFA demands grass, don't we have grass in every stadium? There's a cost to it.
Remind me, they did the virtual chain gang test in the preseason, and it was a disaster.
It was a bomb, yeah.
But to your point,
they have cars in Las Vegas that go stay within a geofence, and they know where they are exactly, pinpointed. So
sure. Oh, no,
they
look.
They can do it with a football in a football stadium.
There's no question they could do it, and they should do it. And I think they will do it eventually, but they're not going to do it at the expense of ruining the TV product, which is what happened in the preseason. The virtual chain gang was ruining the TV product. There was a 3-minute delay. It was bad. It was just.
Well, you've got these other spring leagues that we all say we get excited about, but then we never watch, like the USFL. Aaron, thanks for the call and thanks for adding. If anybody wants to jump in, 866-4FAN, 866-4326. Like, can't the NFL just say, hey, you know what? Can we give you some money to go check this out? You got the kickoff rule from the one league. Now it seems okay. Like, it's strange to think, like, last Super Bowl, we didn't even have that. Okay? That's how things change so quickly here. Can we get to that in a year or two? I'd be all in favor of it.
I think we will, and I think they'll probably test it some more. This will be one of the off-season storylines, I'm sure, is what are they going to test out in the preseason? What are the competition committee, which Sean McDermott is a part of, what do they come up with in terms of rule changes and ways that they can enhance the product and make it a better product on the field for the players and for the fans alike? That certainly feels like an easy one, Aaron, and we appreciate you checking it out here in the sports bar. We appreciate you calling. All right, if you missed any of today's show, we'll get the whole thing up for you wherever you get your podcasts. Blame Assessment Monday.
The last one. No, we didn't play the music today.
No, we can't.
No.
No music. No music. Sad. It's a sad. Everybody's facing it. Everybody's struggling with it today. If you watched that game, even if you weren't really committed to this team throughout the course of the season, it's a bummer. It's a bummer for our region. We would have been on the world stage. Would have been great. And now we have to default to, it's always next year.
That's the problem. You don't want to wish time away, and you know what it took to get back to that point. And you finished ahead of where you finished up last year, I suppose. And now you have some money to spend. And you have extra draft picks this year, too. So I'm trying to find positive things.
Oh, there's plenty. And you have your quarterback. A lot of teams don't have that.
Yeah, maybe Travis Kelce decides, all right, you know what? I'm going to go retire. Go ahead. Win another one. Retire.
Yeah, little
Propose
things.
Propose right on the field.
Little wins. Little wins. We'll take them where we can get them. We'll get the whole thing up for you, available wherever you get your podcasts. Just search out the Sports Bar. That includes the free-to-download Odyssey app. We had our conversation with Nate Geary from the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Also, Ryan Talbot from NewYorkUpstate.com from the 3 o'clock hour. Tomorrow, we'll continue to talk Bills with Matt Perino covering the team for the Syracuse Post-Standard at 3:25. The aforementioned Michael Leone.
Yeah, heroes welcome tomorrow.
We'll talk about that Hartford matchup. Michael F. Florio from NFL Network stops by. We're abbreviated tomorrow because we've got St. John Fisher basketball at 5:30. So terrible take Timmy will be in the sports bar during happy hour as well. Appreciate you listening. Thanks for watching on the stream at The Fan Rochester on YouTube and Twitch and in the free-to-download Odyssey app or your smart device. JR Sport Brief is next. On The Fan Rochester. Have a great night.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.